Let's check in on what Swiss voters thought about capping the boss's pay.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. In the U.S., some chief executives get more than 1,000 times the average worker pay at their companies. In Switzerland, the votes have just been counted on a measure to limit CEO compensation there to just 12 times what everyone else makes. The verdict?
It failed pretty convincingly. 65% of Swiss voters said no to salary limits, just 35% saying yes.
The BBC's Imogen Folks is based in Geneva.
The key arguments were this measure is too restrictive. It will really hamper Swiss business. It could deter foreign investment and foreign talent from coming to Switzerland. And here we are, one of Europe's healthiest economies, one of the only healthy economies in Europe at the moment. If it's not broken, let's not try to fix it.
Now, Imogen, do the results of this referendum give Swiss executives a free hand to seek whatever pay they want now?
No, certainly not. In March of this year, so just 9 months ago, we had a referendum already, which was passed overwhelmingly, which did ban golden goodbyes and put strict limits on bonuses. Now, that was the first indication at the ballot box anyway, that the Swiss are concerned about excessive salaries. A few months from now, we have yet another referendum, and that will be on guaranteeing a minimum wage. So concerns about too high salaries and about a widening wage gap, which Switzerland, like the US, has also been seeing over the past few years, those concerns remain.
The BBC's Imogen Folks is based in Geneva. Imogen, thank you.
Thank you.
Let me guess about something now. Your home phone has been ringing lately with charities looking for donations. Some figure you're beginning to think tax deductions with the year wrapping up. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, the Thanksgiving spirit in particular can be a recruiting tool for the philanthropies.
In a warehouse at the Maryland Food Bank, forklifts zip around, moving millions of pounds of donated food. It's not just stuffing and potatoes that pour in this time of year. CEO Deborah Flaitman says 60% of cash donations come in between September and December. The food bank has to turn away volunteers.
The volunteers who are coming in and doing work in the food bank today probably made that appointment in July. That's how popular this time of year is.
The challenge is keeping those people involved the rest of the year. Stacey Palmer is editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy.
Smart nonprofits use the interest from volunteers who come and serve at the food kitchen and say, maybe we can get you more involved in other kinds of ways.
And people who volunteer, Palmer says, are more likely to give money, too. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.3% at the moment. Seems to be going around in London. The FT 100 index is also up 0.3%. With the first phase of that deal to limit Iran's nuclear program in exchange for easing sanctions, the price of oil in Europe is down about 1.75% to about $109 a barrel. The West Texas price is down 1.4% to $93.50. The British producers of the hit TV drama Downton Abbey are cashing in new and ornate ways. In Britain and the U.S., they've rolled out a huge range of branded merchandise, clothes, jewelry, makeup, wine. But they may have missed out on what could have been one massive market. We're talking China. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has our story.
It's odd that Downton Abbey should be an international hit. After all, the show is saturated with English aristocratic disdain for foreigners.
When I'm with her, I'm reminded of the virtues of the English.
But isn't she American?
Exactly.
In spite of the upstairs superciliousness and the downstairs deference, Downton is a major hit in dozens of countries, including the US and especially China, as British Finance Chief George Osborne bragged on a recent trade mission to Beijing.
There are 160 million people in China watching the goings-on at Downton Abbey. That is more than twice the number of people who live in the entire United Kingdom.
But British hopes of profiting from a flood of merchandising deals in China may have been dashed. Several wily Chinese entrepreneurs got in quick and secured the right to use the Downton name.
They have absolutely no connection with the show, but they are the first to go to the trademark office.
Kenning Lee, a lawyer with Pinson Masons in Shanghai, says China is a so-called first-to-file country.
That means whoever is the first to the trademark office to register a name will get the rights to that name.
And that name could become a very valuable brand in increasingly consumerist China, says Seal Otnes, professor of marketing at the University of Illinois.
For most countries where there's been some restrictions on how much you can consume, as soon as those start to be lifted, people just start rushing to explore this new territory.
Chinese consumers may soon rush to explore a range of luxury Downton Abbey products, from wine to jewellery, but to the profit of Chinese entrepreneurs. Superior British blue bloods may have lost out to fast-working foreigners. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Gets you going just hearing the theme, doesn't it? And why would the New York State Police need 32 mousy gray tall sport utility vehicles? The better to catch you texting as you drive, police say. The vantage point lets the police see what's glowing in your lap. Here's the numbers you run around for Thanksgiving. During any given daylight hour in America, there are about 660,000 people texting, talking on mobile phones, or fooling with electronic devices of some sort. That according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.